It is a joy to be back at Jefferson Assembly. We have indeed been blessed to have the opportunity to be one of your missionaries for so many years. My wife and I were first appointed in November of 90, and so it's been a long time. I want to encourage you. I do have a booth out there. We have cards, prayer cards, as we always call them, because we ask you as you take one to remember to pray. Not just to pray for the missionary on here, but every missionary, to pray for your pastor and his family, to pray for your family as well. Just remember to pray. So we encourage you to take a card and to, we have other, you know, brochures and all kinds of things that tell you about the ministry out here. We are excited, Pastor. Thank you for the chance to come back. And I do send greetings. My mother-in-law is staying at our house at the moment, and she was not feeling well at all yesterday. And so Vicky has stayed to be with her mom today. So, but she sends greetings to all of you. And yes, she wants to see the new grandbaby like everybody else. She does say hello to all of you. Thank you so much for what you have done, for your support for all these many years. We're so honored to be Kansas missionaries. We pastored down in Coffeyville before we went to Africa. So we are thankful for all you've done. Slide, please. I want to show you. We work with a program called the Africa Oasis Project, and Pastor put it very well. Our purpose is to bring fresh water and the living water of Jesus Christ. And so we are honored to be able to use such a powerful tool. Scripture is full of ministry at the well. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, as Jesus did. Slide, please. We've been living in Togo, a little country. If you look at Africa, it's got the big hump on the west side, and we fondly say we live kind of right there in the armpit of Africa, where it says Togo. It's kind of that way in general, literally as well. We're close to the equator. Togo is a third world country. It's a developing country. But you know what? The people are fantastic. And we work all over West Africa and Central Africa and now the whole continent. But we are delighted to live where people need Jesus and they're glad to hear the gospel. When you bring them fresh water, they'll listen to you. And it's exciting to be a part of what God is doing. Let me slide, please. Let me just share a story with you. The question was asked, why have you become a wife? Now, this question was asked of an Assemblies of God pastor in Benin. There's a Pastor Samson Solma and his family live in a village called Waria. Waria is right on the border of Benin and Nigeria. And it's on just a back dirt lane that goes across the border. There's no fence or guards or anything of that nature. And it is, but the thing is, the men of the village were asking him, why have you become a wife? Well, slide please. The reason that they asked that is because the women are the ones who would walk a great distance, several kilometers, to find water, to find filthy, dirty water. And they would then walk back, and it was very dangerous for them because of that little trail across the border. All kinds of bandits and people would come and go back and forth across the border from Nigeria into Benin, and they would have black market gas. They would have black market, you know, drugs and guns and even slaves and all kinds of things going on. And so all these bad people were coming back and forth. So as the women of Waria would walk that great distance to get that dirty water, the men, the bandits would harass them and bother them and beat them, rape them, even had them killed at times. And so because Pastor Samson loved his wife, he would walk the distance to do the wife's work in an African culture, and he would get the water and bring it back. Now, the men of the village thought they would help their wives, so what they did was, in their strange way, they would smoke some of their own brand of courage, if you will, so their marijuana type thing, and make them strong so they could fight the bandits, right? Well, the problem is, when they would smoke this stuff, they would become as dangerous as the bandits. They were not a good situation. So Pastor Samson was carrying the water for his wife and taking the ridicule because he loved her and they needed water. Slide, please. The need for water is huge all over Africa and the world in general, but it's overwhelming. They're 80%, as I said in the video, 80% of all sickness in the world is caused by diseases and bacteria and related to filthy, dirty water. And of 90%, Worldwide today, every day, 25,000 people will die because of unsafe or unclean water. And of those 25,000 who die, 90% of them are under the age of 5 years old. Children are dying all over the world from diarrheal diseases and dengue fever and bilharzia and all kinds of things. Slide, please. And people are walking a great distance to find the water. My dear sweet mama, she used to tell me, there's no excuse to be dirty. Anybody can afford a bar of soap, you know. Well, I had to come back from Africa and tell Mom, Mom, it's not the soap, it's the water. When you walk a great distance to get water, you don't waste a lot of it bathing. I mean, it's just too precious. Slide, please. The people, what we then do is after we identify where the need is, the greatest need, the national church leaders help us decide where to put the water projects, the wells, and then we come in, we hire a local driller, we drill a well, and the church establishes our priorities. If I were making decisions where the wells were going to go, I'd have pastors lined up around my house. But we let the national church in each country where we work, they tell us where the greatest need. Sometimes it's a Bible school. Sometimes it's a new church plant or an existing church. And out in the most remote areas. Slide please. We also involve ministry at the well. Sort of like Jesus did. We will do anything we can. We'll hold crusades at the well. When Jenna came, was that 2010? I think we decided. She came with a group of young ladies and we had a wonderful time, holding kids crusades. Hundreds of children would come a lot of it just to see the pretty white girls, but also to see because there was a great crusade. We had a wonderful time telling them about the love of Jesus. And that's what we would do. We would also distribute. BGMC is a program that the Assembly's had, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, and they give us these buddy buckets, and we distribute these buckets by the hundreds and thousands. You see my wife giving out the buckets. That's in a place I think you went to. We call it Kajali, it's Chito. That was in Chito. And we went and distribute these buckets and tell them about Jesus. It's a wonderful tool for evangelism. The results are overwhelming. Slide, please. After they have gone for so many years, for decades and generations, they've gone to dig, this is in Ghana, dig dirty water out. Sometimes in this dry riverbed, they would dig down through the mud till water would seep in, and then they would dip water with a gourd, and they would put it in there, or they would give that water directly to the baby. But after they get this fresh water that flows, they get so excited. They don't have to walk a great distance anymore. It's available to everyone. And the people have been covered with rashes and diseases, but it clears up in a place called Agbalewiki. That's another fun name I like to say. Agbalewiki in Benin. The people had yellow fever, which comes from the mosquitoes that are attracted to those stagnant ponds where they get their water. And the chief came to the pastor, and the chief had yellow fever as well as a whole village. And he said, will you pray, pastor, that somebody will bring us fresh water? And by God's grace, the National Church in Benin asked us to go to Agbalewiki and drill a freshwater well, and the diseases go away and the rashes go away. Slide, please. It is exciting to see the results as the children, as the people, their lives are changed. Something just as simple as we take for granted as a little bit of fresh water. You know, we use water like crazy. We have it in bottles or in the sink. We wash our cars. We even wash our dogs. And that's okay. I am not here to make anybody feel uncomfortable or privileged. I'm just saying we're blessed. I'm not here to put guilt on anybody. We are just blessed. Thank God for the blessings we have in everyday life to have clean water. And you know, another thing that makes a difference is that everybody comes to the water. I said it in Sunday school. Water is the great equalizer. Everybody, Muslim, animist, voodoo, Christian, agnostic, whatever, everybody needs water if you're going to live. And so they will come to the well. They will come to the water. Muslims are accepting Christ because of the water. In a place called Basiyundi, it's a village in Upper East Ghana, Well, Pastor Timothy is a good friend of ours, and he was telling us a story. The Oasis Project was able to go into that very arid area up in northeast Ghana where it's very dry, and we were able to drill a well and put in a hand pump. And so fresh, clean water was flowing. A Muslim man from a neighboring village to several kilometers away heard about the new well, the new pump. And so he came. He walked the distance to see it. And when he came, the well is right there by the church and also the pastor's house. And so Pastor Timothy met the man out at the well and began, said, "Yes, you're welcome. You can have all the water you want." And then he began to tell him about Jesus Christ. The Muslim man accepted Christ as his Savior and Lord right there at the well. Pastor Timothy, yes, amen. But Pastor Timothy pumped some of that precious water, and all he could do was make mud and roll the man in the mud as a baptism. God understood that. There was no big tank to baptize, so he just baptized him in mud. But God knew what he was doing. Well, that's exciting. But the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, 3 weeks in a row after that, the man walked back to the village, back to the well, and brought a different wife with him each time, and all three wives got saved and baptized in mud. We say, God, use it. Use it any way you can. Slide, please. It is exciting to see how God is using these things. The people are so excited. I told you about Pastor Samson Solma. I can also tell you that today, in Waria, fresh water is flowing. And the living water is flowing in the church in Waria. Pastor Samson and all the other people don't have to walk that dangerous distance anymore to find dirty water. Now they only have to go to the well in the middle of the community next to the church, and they are receiving fresh water today. Because, well, people like you and people like me, all of us regular folks that give and serve the Lord so we can take the gospel and use water as a tool for evangelism to tell people about Jesus. If you forget everything else I say, remember one phrase. Clean water changes their today, but the living water changes their eternity. That's what we're after. We want to change today. We want to give them fresh and clean water, but we also want to tell them about Jesus Christ that'll change their eternity. So I'd ask, you know, are you thirsty? Well, and I don't mean just thirsty. I mean, are we thirsty for things of the Lord? There's a scripture in Exodus chapter 15 that tells a story. Verse 22 through 25, it says, "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' And Moses said, Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood and threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink." Filthy water and disease-filled water is commonplace in Africa and all over the world, actually, but especially in Africa. They think nothing of dipping water from a mud hole, and it's full of disease, and it's a terrible situation. We drink filtered water even in America, but there, when the water is so brown and dirty, and one pastor told us, he said, we walk a long ways to drink with the cows. I mean, come on, we're in Kansas. We know what cows do in water, and they will drink it, they will bathe in it, they'll do whatever they can. You know, it tells a story here where Moses was leading the children of Israel. They had just gone through a magnificent miracle. They had been released from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. They had seen the water part. They just all kinds of things. And they're happy and they're rejoicing, and the church is growing and everything is going good. And for 3 days they walk without water, and they're after coming fresh out of Egypt, they began to grumble. They began to complain. You remember back when? You know, that way back 3 days ago when the water was flowing and how great they began to think it was great back in the rough old days. But you know what they did? Well, first of all, I have something to tell you. You may not know this. people in the church sometimes grumble. I know that's a new thing to you. No, I'm serious. Not this church, of course. But sometimes people in the church will grumble. They'll say, I remember when. What's going on? You know, what are we, you know, we worry about things. We get upset about things. What is it that, you know, causes you to lose your joy? I remember when I was on staff at a church years ago in Colorado, they had the audacity to change that worn out carpet out in the lobby area, and it just, I am not kidding, about split the church. I had a lady, a board member's wife, asked me if I'd pastor the church if they could get rid of the senior pastor. I said, no, you're arguing over carpet. In a Sunday school class I was teaching, they said, okay, pastor, what do you really think about the new carpet? I said, are you really asking for my opinion? It's carpet. I walk on it. I don't care. It's not worth losing the victory. I'm just illustrating the point that people grumble. I don't know why, but they do. I do too. All of us do at times. Why do we do that? You ever say, Lord, I thought you were going to protect me from problems like this. We grumble. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to make light of sometimes it, you know, it's just carpet. But sometimes we have issues. And you know what? The first thing they did, the same thing that a lot of people do. Pastor, what are you going to do about it? It says they went to Moses. They went to Moses. I mean, these things happen in life. They just happen. Water is a necessity of life. They couldn't get along without it. It was serious. It was more than carpet. It was serious. And instead of going to the Lord and say, Lord, meet our needs, instead they say, Pastor, what are you going to do about it? When they're very, and they get to that water, it's bitter. I mean, they've been looking. Somebody told them there's water up ahead. They're excited. Just hang on. The church is going to get better. There's exciting things happening. And when they get there and they're all worked up, they can't drink it. It's bitter water. We get our hearts so excited over stuff, and it's not everything. Did you ever buy that car you think was the answer to all your dreams or those clothes? I mean, the media tells us we're all either, you know, overweight, underweight, we wear the wrong clothes, we drive the wrong thing, we drink the wrong thing, we eat the wrong. I mean, they just constantly tell us how bad off we are, so we'll buy their product and be happy, 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 to quote Cy. But when you're thirsty for any, when you're really thirsty, any water looks good. Any water looks good. In Proverbs it tells us there's a way that appears right, but in the end it leads to death. No matter how good that bitter water looks, it's bad. It'll kill you. No matter how great that politician sounds, you gotta be very careful and follow God's leading. No matter how much that latest pop star, that latest celebrity, what they say works best for everybody and you gotta follow this and do that, they don't listen to everything they say. That water that looks so good is often bitter water. It's not what we need. It'll kill us as a society. It'll kill us as a, spiritually if we follow. There's a lot of false teachers out there. Promising water to you. They're promising this, that, and the other in their philosophy, or their, you know, follow this and you'll be happy and you'll be, everything will be great. I'm saying be very, very careful. It's bitter water and it'll kill you. If it takes your eyes off of God and His provision and salvation, listen to some of these folks on TV. Have you ever heard a salvation message? Be careful. And so they grumbled. Another thing we do in our society is the same thing they did. When something goes wrong, we look for somebody to blame. Well, it's not my fault. We look for somebody to blame. They're actually blaming Moses because of the bitter water. So it says in verse 24, so the people grumbled against Moses. Now we all know, as a child of God, the only answer to our bitter water that we may be living in or we may be seeing out there, the only answer is to turn to God, is to seek Him in prayer, is to listen to Him and to say, Lord, you need to bring the fresh water. In Exodus 15:25, it says Moses, as a pastor, he probably just wanted to cry, but he cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. When they came and they grumbled, he said, Lord, I need help here. I'm sure he wanted to cry. You know, what are you going to do, Lord? What do we do? And the point here is Moses cried out in prayer. When he had bitter water, he cried out in prayer. And the Lord showed him, in verse 25, Lord showed him, Moses, a piece of wood. Isn't it interesting how often the Lord will meet our needs using something very simple? Just, it's right there. You see it every day. Maybe it's that friend that needs to speak into your life. Maybe it's that message that pastor preached that you miss sometimes, but you go, oh boy, that was it. Says the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Some would suggest that that bitter water is our lives in turmoil and in sin, and that the piece of wood is the cross of Jesus Christ. Some would suggest that without Christ in our lives, we're lost. We don't have sweet water. I don't know what people do when they run into the bitter water around them and then they don't know what to do. So they look to drink or this or that or drugs or whatever, pornography or something, it's going to make me happy. The piece of wood sometimes, as it represents the cross of Jesus Christ, it's often referred to in the King James in places, it's called a tree. A tree. Our grumbling, our complaining, our worrying, our fears will not add one day to our lives. It will not bring us sweet water. If we're truly children of God, we need to look to Jesus Christ for the water. We need to look at Jesus Christ for the sweet water. We have to realize He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. The people in Africa where I work, it's amazing how simple they are. If you come into town, many times I've come into a village and we've tried with all our might just to say to the chief that we're just here to see about the possibility. No guarantees, and the possibility of drilling a well, because we don't know if there's water. Well, when I show up, the white guy in a village, and it's a done deal. I mean, they know they're getting fresh water. They know they're getting a well. And it tears my heart up when we do a test and find there's no water. We have to be very careful what we say. There was a place called Natatingo in Upper West Benin, where it says the village was very, it's very, very remote. It's one of the furthest places I've gone to get way out there. And they would get very, very little rain, but they would dig these long, shallow holes in the ground. Looked like a big, long, open grave. But it wasn't real deep, but they would dig these long, deep holes. And I asked the pastor, I said, what are these for? Well, that's in case when it does rain, we will catch the water in this hole in the ground and we will have water to drink and water. They'll try to save it as best they can. The National Church in Benin asked us to drill a well there in Natatingo, and it was exciting. There was a woman, a little old lady, I don't know how old she was, she was just very, very ancient. Every day of her life, every evening, she would take one of those aluminum washpan things and walk several kilometers to get to a shallow hand-dug well next to a school. And there was not very much water in it, so it would have to refill overnight. And she would take a little handful of food and her pan, and she would go and sit down next to that well, eat her little bit of supper, and then lay down and sleep there next to the well overnight. So that as an old lady, she could be one of the first ones to get to the well in the morning and pull up the bucket of water and be able to put some into her pan, and then she'd walk back to her humble little house. And the thing was, she would do this every day. Every day. And so when we were asked to put a well in that village, we went way out. I said, Natatingo, that's not right. It's Chinkosi. In Chinkosi, we went way out to Chinkosi and we drilled a well next to the church in the middle of the village. And it was a wonderful well. Lots of water. And the water began to flow. And this little old lady really got excited. And I took her two hands and we laughed together. We did a happy dance. It wasn't pretty, but it was a happy dance. We were both excited because it was so exciting, but she now had fresh water and she's a part of the church and the church is growing and God provided and she's no longer walking that great distance to find that clean, fresh water. People work so hard to get the dirty water when the fresh water of Jesus Christ is right there for the taking. And that's why we try to bring them the message of Jesus Christ at the well. In Agbalueki, I told you earlier, the pastor had been asked by the chief to see if we could get water so that we could stop the yellow fever spreading through the village. And by God's grace, we were able, the national church asked us to drill a well in Agbalueki, and it was so exciting. People get so excited. Now, I won't lie to you, just around the corner, in this little village, just down the corner, they're making a circle with white powder, dust, and they've got herbs and weeds that they burn in there, and they've got chicken eggs, and voodoo and animism is right there. And the church is just around the corner, but by God's grace, the church now has walls and a roof and is growing, and it's exciting to see what God's doing, bringing light into the midst of darkness. Today, we cannot forget the miraculous things God has done for us. Just like the children of Israel, they cannot forget what happened to them when they were delivered out of the darkness of Egypt and out of slavery. We cannot lose faith. What God has done for us, and we must have faith to believe He will walk with us. We must take our grumblings and our complainings, not just to the pastor, but take them to the Lord. Join together with fellow believers that will pray with you on some of the things you're dealing with. Churches and places that are dealing with life controlling, they have classes and people working with those in teen challenge or life controlling problems or maybe things just in your own home. Turn to prayer. Turn to God. He hears our heart and He hears our prayers, and we need to seek the Lord's sweet water every day of our life. Need to read the Word. Need to preach the Word. I want to close with a song that talks about that story that we all know where Jesus talked to the women at the well. And there He tells her all about herself. It's amazing how she was not a good lady when He met her, but she was a changed woman when she left. When He told her, "You may drink from this well, but you'll be thirsty again. But when you drink the living water of Jesus Christ, you'll never thirst again." And that's what this song just simply says. If you got it ready up there, guys, it says, "You will never thirst again." Now, I will tell you, when it starts, you'll hear African ladies singing and praising God in a good prayer meeting at the beginning, at the end. So just hear them worshiping the Lord as you can. You'll never find her story in a fairy tale. She was unlike the other women at the well. Her life was full of pain, hurt, rejection, her loneliness she didn't want to show. But Jesus saw the desert in her soul. Drink from this water, drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. Oh, drink from this water, drink from this water, and you'll never thirst again. We all search for something to fill us up inside. But it's only an illusion. You know a true love's hard to find. But I'm here to tell you there's one place. Your thirst is quenched forevermore. You will never leave there disappointed. You'll find what you are longing for. Drink from this water. Drink from this water and you'll never thirst again. Oh, drink from this water. Drink from this water and you'll never thirst again. And oh, Jesus will meet you at the place of every need. And only He can make the wounded whole and make the blind man see. Drink from this water. Drink from this water and you'll never thirst again. Oh, drink from this water. Drink the living water and you'll never thirst again. This water, drink the living water, and you'll never thirst again. Drink from this water, drink the living water, and you'll never thirst.